How are you feeling?
Other than the headaches, not too bad. No permanent effects. That's what the doctors say, anyway.
Me too.
She hesitates. I mean, I guess the nightmares will go away eventually. I hope so. I wait a beat, then add, Listen, I'm really sorry you didn't get any closure about your aunt. I know that would have meant a lot to your family. If it's any consolation, even if you didn't hear him say it, I'm pretty sure we know. You know?
I know. I just wish...
Her eyes get bright with tears, and before I can think too much about what I'm doing, I pull her into my arms. She leans her head on my chest, and I bury my face in her hair. For a few seconds, I feel something I haven't experienced since I was a little kid, before my parents started fighting and my brother either ignored or taunted me. Hope. It'll be all right, I say into her hair. Her voice is muffled against my shirt.
How are we supposed to get past something like this?
I look over her head at the porch, where Declan's rejoined Daisy, and they're talking with Ryan and Mrs. Corcoran. Ezra's gotten off the porch railing to hold the baby again, and Mia's making faces at it. The Kilduffs arrived at some point, and even though my mother's not here, I can almost picture her venturing into something like this one day, forgiving herself for believing a monster's lies. We all have to figure out a way to do that. Just living, I guess, I finally say. Ellery pulls away from me with a small smile, swiping the back of her palm against her wet cheeks. Her dark lashes are spiky with tears.
Seriously? That's it? That's all you've got?
No, I have an ace in the hole I've been saving to cheer you up. Her brows rise, and I pause for dramatic effect. Would you like to visit a clown museum with me? She starts to laugh.
What, now? In the middle of a party?
Can you think of a better time?
After the party?
Ellery suggests. It's right down the street. We could be there and back in half an hour, 45 minutes tops. There's free popcorn and dogs. And clowns, obviously.
It does sound tempting.
Then let's go. I link my fingers through hers and we start for the driveway. Good thing it's walking distance. I've had almost half a bottle of beer.
You rebel.
She smiles at me.
But you did say living, after all.
I squeeze her hand and bend my head toward hers. I'm working on it.
Chapter 38. Ellery. Saturday, October 26th. Malcolm's hand feels warm and solid in mine. Leaves swirl around us like oversized confetti, and the sky is a bright, brilliant blue. It's a beautiful day. The kind that makes you think maybe everything will be okay after all. Despite all the trauma of the past 2 weeks, good things have happened too. While Sadie was in town, she and Nana talked. Really talked. They still don't understand one another much, but it finally felt like they both want to try. Since she's been back at Hamilton House, Sadie hasn't made a single random phone call. It's only been 8 days, but still, baby steps. Nana and Sadie agreed that Ezra and I should finish our senior year at Echo Ridge High, even if Sadie gets a clean bill of health in January, which is all right by me. I'm making my bedroom a little homier. I bought some framed prints at an art fair last weekend and put up pictures of Ezra and me with Mia and Malcolm. Plus, I have the SATs to take, colleges to visit, half-siblings to get to know, and maybe more dates with Malcolm. I almost told him, just now. I wanted to. But once I say it, I can't take it back. And even though I spent almost 6 weeks trying to unravel the lies in Echo Ridge, all I've been able to think about since that day in the Nilsons' basement is that some secrets shouldn't be told. It nearly killed Sadie to believe she'd abandoned her twin on the night Sarah disappeared. There's no way she'd be able to handle this. It's hard enough for me, with no regrets or guilt weighing me down, to watch my brother smile and joke at a party, and to know the truth. We're not supposed to be here. I grip Malcolm's hand tighter, to ward off the chill that runs down my spine, every time I remember Peter's voice hissing in my ear, so faint, I almost missed it. I wish I had, because I'll spend the rest of my life hoping he never repeats the words he thought I'd take to my grave.
I thought she was your mother.
This is Sophie Amos. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Two Can Keep a Secret by Karen M. McManus. This program was directed by Simone Barros. Executive producer, Kelly Gilday. Text copyright 2019 by Karen M. McManus. Production copyright 2019, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.